people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire, Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's an, like, a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go downstairs another tier, and about 5 minutes, we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
An MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways. And so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line, there's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know why everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Welcome to the 97th episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm your creator, producer, and host, Edward Solis. My in-studio guests Mike Sandoval, the publisher and founder of Muse, an online web publication.
Hey, how are you? Thank you very much. I'm doing good. Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. This is a Pasadena episode, so we're going to talk about some of your favorite places after we talk about all the hard work you put into your publication. And I'll tell everyone how to get there on the goal line. Now, I've noticed you guys have been growing significantly. And now Muse stands for Music, Unity, Sports, and Entertainment.
Yes.
Give us the URL.
The URL is SoCalMuse.com.
Okay.
You can also find us at WhoSYourMuse.com, which is WhoSYourMuse.com.
Fantastic. Did you know, while you were in high school that you would be doing this? Did you have a vision and a plan?
In high school, no. I didn't really have a vision. I had an outlook. I had an idea of something like this back when I was at Don Bosco Tech in Rosemead in electronics, and technology just wasn't there. So I think as I studied journalism, going to college, and then doing more interviews, I saw that maybe this would be a possible road someday down the future if we ever get the money to do it. So that's what I was thinking.
Very cool. Now, it seems like when you have a publication, first off, whether it's online or print or both, it's very unconventional. It's an unconventional business to be in,
right?
Because of the change of the media. Mm-hmm. I noticed that you guys are covering a lot of significant events, like, you know, major movies, major bands, etc. How do you pick and choose the content?
Content-wise, it just depends on what we feel people would be into and what would get people to read the site, give them a new avenue, a new area to go look and interview, go see a movie. For on our film side, we do a lot of work with Disney, the Walt Disney Company. And we just did Saving Mr. Banks,
right.
And we have a very good relationship with them, which is odd because
you didn't plan that. It just happened, right?
It just happened. They were the first movie studio that actually started working with us. And started out going into small movies, doing film reviews, and then we wound up, like just recently, interviewing Tom Hanks, Emma Thompson from Saving Mr. Banks, and Colin Farrell. And it blows your mind because you work so hard, you have a vision, and then suddenly a company like Disney comes around and says, oh, yeah, here, go to a screening. This is something that we'll love to have you at. And to get the content was something that at the beginning, whatever we could get on content, we would take. But now we're able to be a little selective on what we do and how we would go about getting the content. On the music side, that was a completely different avenue.
Now let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Let's compare notes really quick.
Okay.
We both have media outlets.
Yes.
With that are propelled by journalistic intent and skills. Mm-hmm. I find, for some reason, when you work with major facilitators, like a mm-hmm. Disney or an Interscope, mm-hmm. sometimes it's easier than working with the independents.
Yes, I agree.
And they'll give you, you know, like, sure, what would you like? They're very generous. Mm-hmm. You get the invites. They're very, very sociable, very friendly, mm-hmm. and just common courtesy. And sometimes the independent facilitators, whether it's a label or a studio, are just very kind of like, you know, snooty.
Yeah.
Have you ever find that?
I've found that with a couple PR companies that we've worked with, where they're small independent PR companies and we can barely get anything with them. And we're happy. I'm not going to moan about it. I'm like, I'm happy with whatever we can get.
Immediately after.
Yes, whatever we could get. But we get somebody like Disney and we have some great relationships at Disney and they're like, oh yeah, here. Go save you, Mr. Banks,
or go interview Iron Man, or go do
Tom Hanks, or go to the casting directors for Oz the Great and Powerful.
Wow.
And it's like, for a kid who grew up in East Los Angeles.
Exactly.
It just blows my mind.
That's where I could relate with you, because mm-hmm. the movies, it's like impossible.
Yeah.
Like, how could I talk to this person?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So to have a reach into the production studios, mm-hmm. it's extremely, extremely inspirational once you cross that first path, right?
Yes, it is. It very much is.
How long have you guys existed for?
We have been actually in full publication for 2 years now. We've been in development since 2007. Like a little after my mom passed away is when we started developing the product.
And that was 2007.
That was in 2007.
Wow. Now, do you think, let me back up. Do you actually update daily?
Yes, we try and get updated daily. We haven't done so this month because of the amount of requests we've been getting to go out to different events.
That's great.
And it's really
hard.
It's
a good problem to have.
It's a good problem. It is, because 2 years ago, we did not have this problem. And now we do. We're a small staff of about 6 people, and we're able to churn out some great content. And I sometimes it really does blow my mind.
That's great. I mean, 2 years to really be like, you know, on the phone with someone and barely getting anything to like working with all the Disney projects mm-hmm. and covering that and being on their radar, that speaks volumes, mm-hmm. you know. Let's talk about your staff. So everyone contributes content?
Yes, everybody contributes content.
And either copy and video?
It's video. It is copy. It's anything that we're pretty much, you have to be multi-talented. In this day, in a tech age.
You have to wear a lot of hats.
You have to wear a lot of hats in the tech age.
Right. And it's, so you got to, I mean, to really, we got to run lean and mean. Mm-hmm. That's
exactly
the way you do it.
And that's what it is. It's short staff. We work a lot of hours. But I was able to pull together a staff that was that worked very hard. They know how to do their product, and I don't have to tell them much, which is great.
So they're self-starters.
Yes, they're all self-starters.
And, you know, I mean, being an employer, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of different types of personalities out there.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've dealt with them all. Let's just say that.
Through my life, I've dealt with a lot of personalities.
And again, it's like, anything else. I mean, you know, some people will really be inspired and want to deliver what they can and as much as they can. And some people will say, well, I'll just do this one thing and I don't go outside these guidelines. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to get ahead in this business, the entertainment industry, you really have to be all in or nothing.
Right. Especially if you're a minority in this industry. I feel like you have to work 10 times harder to get noticed.
I agree mm-hmm. completely. Yeah. And that's cohesive to my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it's the lineage of those ideals is right on.
Right.
For whatever reason, mm-hmm. you know, we won't go into that. That's another episode.
That's a whole different episode and a whole different
2-3-4-hour episode.
Exactly.
With you, me, and the Brown Berets.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding.
No, and Mecha and everybody else.
Yeah, everyone else. So now let's talk about advertising. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want you to, you know, part of this interview, I want you to share your experience with the kids graduating from college that have a dream to do what you're doing. You know, advertising is a great thing.
Yes.
Now, what I try to point out to people is when they see an advertiser, you know, that's an accomplishment. There was probably 7 doors that closed mm-hmm. in equation to that one,
right.
You know, what do you think you have to do to keep your current advertisers happy?
To me, I think it's just bringing them, making sure that the people who come onto the site are going into their, clicking their advertising, going to their shops, purchasing, getting
translation
as much,
sales.
Exactly. Yeah. Translation sales. Just like old school sales when before the internet even existed, it was the same thing where you put a lot of people into a pipeline and whatever squeezes out the other end is the people you're going to keep. And you want to keep pushing people into that pipeline. I think that's the best rule I've ever learned was try and get as many people in the pipeline. Eventually, there's going to be people who are going to come out, who are going to purchase with you. And it works the same way with audiences and media people. It works with everything. It's just a factor of life.
Yeah. It seems like, how would you divide your publication into components, like the pie? There's the content, mm-hmm. the advertising, mm-hmm. but there's also the day-to-day.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of day-to-day work that people don't see. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a busy guy. I mean, I know what goes into it.
Yeah, you've seen my Facebook. Yeah. You've seen the Facebook posts and how many articles you posted up.
I mean, I could translate, like, mm-hmm. when I see you pull something off, I'm like, you know, there was all this coordination that was involved. Like, yes. Just the work. I love the process mm-hmm. of work. I love, to me, you know, my gratification is not being here with you, but the process of getting you here. Yes. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love the process of work and putting things together. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that things are on the web and they're easy and anyone could put up a web publication is crazy. You got to have a cohesive mm-hmm. vision.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name?
The name actually came up when I was working with the Los Angeles Galaxy. I was a account executive there.
Oh, you're working
sales.
There?
Yes, I was working there. Corporate sales when David Beckham came in, a little before David Beckham came in.
It's like mid-2000s?
2006.
I was going to say 2007. Yeah.
Around there when Beckham came in. And when going over my years in professional sports and working with the National Hockey League, the Angels, the Dodgers, Chivas, USA.
You worked with all those people.
I worked with all of them in as an account executive or a corporate salesperson in some capacity. And getting to meet these athletes and kind of realize that they had somebody who pushed them along and gave them a dream. And when you look at the word muse, it's somebody who inspires vision, somebody who inspires that attitude of creativity. And it translates over to artists, musicians, and actors. So I was like, okay, there's a correlation here. And I was looking for names, and I was like, muse. They have a muse, actors have a muse, artists have a muse, and we'll do it into we'll call it Music Unity Sports Entertainment. We'll shorten it up for muse.
That's a great name, there we muse. Go.
Yeah.
It's very easy. A lot of people relate to it.
Yeah.
Tell me about things that you haven't done yet that you want to do for muse, or can you talk about it?
I can talk about that because I think the biggest one that we would like to do, well, interview-wise, we'd love to do Paul McCartney. That would be just our...
That's just the hierarchy
That's
of
the
music.
Hierarchy of music. Paul McCartney, Rolling Stones, U2, to be able to have them on an interview would just be awesome.
Right.
And we're working towards that, actually, since U2 is supposedly going to be coming on tour soon.
Right. Now,
I hear.
Yeah, now tell me, this is very admirable. Like, your consistent hard work and content delivery is very cohesive and very coherent. Mm-hmm. And it's caught the attention of Dave Grohl.
Yes.
Now, someone who's, like, done it all as well, who I consider just a tier below the artist you just named.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. you know, and then there's many tiers below him professionally in music. Tell me how you first encountered Dave Grohl.
Well, it was a funny story because we're actually, I was writing, it was just me at the time. And we're just barely starting up doing beta testing on the site. And we started putting up some music content and some independent bands, local independent bands.
A lot of independent bands?
A lot of independent bands around Southern California. And he emailed me and said, hey, we're having a show, Spaceland. Come down, cover it.
That's cool.
So I was like, at first I was like, yeah, right. This can't be Dave
Grohl. So he emailed you first?
Yeah, he emailed me first.
And you thought it was kind of like a hoax?
Yeah, I thought it was a hoax. I thought somebody was just sending us a spam email and this is just a joke. And it wasn't. And we get over there and we're able to, after his show, I was able to meet with him and talk to him and kind of had that moment where you're just like, I don't get starstruck hardly ever at all.
Right.
But with Dave Grohl, I was starstruck.
Yeah.
Because I was able to
especially because he emailed you direct to come.
Yes, yes.
There was something you created from nothing.
From nothing.
It's a part of you.
Yes. And it was something that, to have somebody like him acknowledge that we exist was just amazing. It was completely amazing.
What did he say about your publication?
He just said he liked what we're doing. He liked the fact that we're going into local music, underground indie bands and giving them a spotlight. Because that was the whole thing when Muse started, was the fact of being able to not only to carry and cover the major acts
and get those
your
views.
Your Foo Fighters, your Incubus, your Real Big Fish, right. Your Green Days of the world.
The major bands.
Yeah. It was a way for we do the major bands, but the major bands are going to give spotlight to a lot of the local artists who even LA Weekly wouldn't even give them a shot or even interview them.
You know, it's so funny you say mm-hmm. that. You know, I mean, it's so funny the way the LA Weekly operates. Mm-hmm. Last year, when I released the new Los Angeles One mm-hmm. and the Red Line came out, the OC Weekly, being an LA band, covered us twice before the LA Weekly covered us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't get it. It's like they're writing about the band twice in two different features before you're writing about us, mm-hmm. and we're from here.
Right?
Can you do something? Yeah. I told them that. Can you please do something? Yeah. Like they've done it twice, and we're not even from OC. Yeah. So they're very finicky. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, I can't believe some of the stuff. I mean, not just me, but some of the stuff that they pass on. Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't you talking about this?
Oh, exactly. There's a band that we've covered already more than a couple times. They're actually playing tonight that we're out there again covering them tonight. They're a band called The Material out of San Fernando Valley. You really have not heard about them, but we've covered them. This is the second time, third time we're going to be covering them. And they're a great sounding band, local band, and a great following. But you would go into any publication, you probably wouldn't even see too many of their articles. Mm-hmm. But we give them a spotlight. And it's the same thing like with our friends. We became friends with Go Betty Go. Mm-hmm. When they came back, we were there at their first show back after breaking up and at the Troubadour. And we've given them a spotlight ever since. We've actually built a great relationship with them. And I mean, they're great supporters of Muse, and we appreciate it.
Do you do all the editing?
Well, we do all the editing. I do the editing.
Well, I mean, how many stories? How much copy do you got to edit a week?
A week? We usually
do a lot of stories.
Yeah, usually on a very good week, we're about 10 to 20 copy that we have to edit. And then plus video, we do
at least
two.
Those are all like tons of words, though. I mean,
yes. And it's sometimes you kind of get a little lazy and you just look and just make sure
everything's good. How do you hit the refresh
button? That's very hard to do. I think I'm always constantly working, but I think when I get to hang out with my friends, especially my best friend Melanie, we get to go out and just, that's like my refresh, is to be able to hang on. And like with my sister and her and my dad, they kind of keep me grounded. And to be able to say, hey, you know what, hey, you need to get a step back, or you're doing too much. You're Michael. We know you as Michael. That's it. And just keep
just
it.
Just be
like
Michael for now.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's hard to shut it off.
Right.
Because you have to go out to these business mixers and be always hyping yourself up.
On.
You always have to be on. And you come home and sometimes you don't turn it off. And it's like, they let you know. And it's good. And I have a great family who've been very supportive over everything that we've done. So they keep me in line.
So you got to share with me, being that this is Los Angeles Nista, car-free radio, you're very versed in the Pasadena area. Like, what are some of your favorite places to patronize, coffee or food?
Oh, coffee? I got two places, actually, in Pasadena that I love going to get my coffee. One is Zona Rosa.
Oh, yeah.
Off of Colorado and I forgot, Molina, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And right next to the Pasadena Playhouse. They're great coffee. Some great, and also they make a great Mexican hot chocolate, which is nice.
Oh, very well done.
With the Ibarra, so you got to have the Ibarra chocolate. And then there's another place that I like going to, too, is in Inteligenticia.
Okay.
And great, it's a little higher end coffee, but the people there are great. There's a great staff to work there, and you can't pass it up when you go to a coffee shop, and they're really friendly and very nice. And those are the two places I like to frequent a lot.
I'll make sure I take the goal line there.
Oh, hell yeah. The goal line is just that's the best thing that came to LA is the
goal
line.
It is, right? The last 10 years. I mean, you could go for $1.50 from Pasadena to downtown. Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to be able to go all the way to Azusa.
Exactly.
And then eventually, I think in 2015, 2016, Claremont.
Yep.
It's going to be
awesome.
Doesn't
get better than that.
Exactly.
So tell us the URL for your web magazine.
It's www.socalmuse.com. And you could also find us at whosyourmuse.com, WHOSURMUSE.com.
And tell us about some of the stories people should check out. I mean, they should check out everything, but if you had like, the freedom to say, hey, check this out.
Well, the couple ones that I would definitely point out, we did an interview with Real Big Fish over the summer at Warped Tour. That's
ska.
One you have
to. The Return of Ska, right?
And ska bands are just, it's awesome. I love the ska bands. Grew up with ska.
Yep.
So that's one of the ones you definitely have to check out. Our interview with the cast from Saving Mr. Banks was amazing.
Wow.
That was just cool.
And that's about Disney.
And that's with the Disney
stuff. I gotta see that.
And it's a great film. We saw it about a month ago. And definitely one you cannot miss, especially also American Hustle as well. Fantastic. And that's a funny story about that one too with David O. Russell. But those could be saved for another day.
You want to give your Facebook URL for the pub and the Instagram and Twitter?
Yes. On Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/SoCalMuse. Our Twitter handle is at whosyourmuse.com, well, at whosyourmuse, and Instagram is at whosyourmuse as well, WHOSURMUSE.
Awesome. Thanks for being a part of episode 97.
Hey, thank you very much for inviting us. We really appreciate it.
Cool.